Hey yo, and here we go, another episode of We Talk Music on the air and in your ear. Once again, I am Martin, joined by the well, let's see, Chief Defender of the Faith, the man with the golden voice, the King of the Casters. He is Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, I did the easy part. I introduced you and me. You do the other easy part and introduce our excellent guest.
Well, we're super happy to have on today. He is an amazing guitarist and a ridiculously young guitarist. Almost makes me wish that I had talent, but too late for that. But anyways, also a singer-songwriter. He is Austin Moe. Austin, how are you?
Good, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're truly happy to have you on because you're an amazing talent, and we've really enjoyed The River, which is your new single. So that's part of the reason that you're here. So let's talk about it.
Right on. What would you guys like to know about it?
Well, I'm wondering about the quite a few different things, but one of the things I'd like to know is the soulful kind of bluesy southern rock sound of it. Is that kind of what we can expect from you in future releases as well, or is it you do not want to get stuck into one label, one type of music?
You know, I was actually thinking about that the other day, and I came across this post, and I can't remember it verbatim, but somebody asked Carlos Santana about their newest release that they did, and they were asking kind of the same similar question, you know, are we going to expect more this kind of stuff from your next album? And he goes, you know, when I write music, I write about life. So it could be what some consider blues and rock. The next one could be considered country. I don't know what's going to happen. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. There are some more kind of hard rock vibe songs that I'm working on, and there's some that might have a little bit of country twang to it. We'll just see what makes it to the release.
Now, of course, you've also been working with Frank Hannon, and how much has he, I guess, influenced your songwriting?
Oh, he's really helped me a lot with my songwriting. Before I met up with Frank, the lineup that I had prior, we tried to write some songs, and they're all right. They're not bad. They're good songs. But when I met up with Frank and he showed me the techniques that he's used, even as early as when they were writing Mechanical Resonance, their first album, as Tesla, it's really helped open my eyes into going from an idea, maybe just a simple riff or like a couple words that I think are cool, and really fleshing it out into pretty much a whole song.
And so then when you worked on him with The River, I guess, like, where did the original germ of the idea come from? And then at what point did you go to Frank? And, like, how did the songwriting work for that song?
Well, when we were writing The River, I came up to his house one day, and I had a bunch of ideas that I'd been sending him throughout the year. And we met up, and we listened to them all on my phone. And I had my notebook full of little scratch notes of lyrics and stuff from what I'd seen on the internet and what I thought sounded kind of cool just walking around and listening day to day. And we looked it all over, and we couldn't really find one that jumped out. Like, there were some good potential little ideas here and there. And then we were just talking and hanging out, just not even thinking about songwriting. And my hands were just doing their thing. And I wasn't even thinking about, okay, this, I got to write a song. This is how it has to be, kind of a thing. Like, I wasn't really focused on a formula. And then I started playing what is now the intro riff of The River. And Frank heard me playing this, and he's all, hey, what is that? What are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, what riff is that? I was like, I just made it up. And he's like, cool, let's work from that. And so then we looked at lyrics that I had, and actually what is now the chorus of The River at the time that I went up to his house was structured as the first verse. And then the first verse of The River was going to be the chorus. And so I showed him what I had. And he was all, oh, okay, well, this part sounds more like a chorus to me. This part sounds like a first verse, so let's try that. And I was like, okay, well, what kind of chords are you thinking? Because I had like a couple of notes, and he was showing me how to songwrite. And so he picked up his acoustic guitar, his Love Dove, and he just started strumming just three chords. And he was it was actually really inspiring to just watch him pick it up and just go, I'm going down to the river. And I was all, Frank, that sounds amazing. And he was like, yeah, so let's work from that. And so we really just bounced ideas off each other in one day. And by the end of the little session, we pretty much had the main meat and potatoes of the song planned out.
Is that how the rest of the songs are starting to come together? Is that same type of thing where just you get a small kernel and you start bouncing them back and forth between each other?
You know, since that session, it's actually helped me a lot with fleshing out ideas, because before I would come up with a riff and I really didn't know where to go with it, because I'm still learning as a songwriter and strengthening that part of my artistic, we'll call it value. And so since then, I've really been able to get into that headspace of, okay, where could this riff go and how could this chorus sound better and vice versa? Or if I'm not really feeling how the lyrics flow out of my mouth, which is another thing that he showed me, is if it's hard to sing, maybe try singing it either a different way or taking out some phrases and putting in the same meaning but with less words, so the flow is more natural. And so that's what I've been doing on my own and applying for myself. And then once I have a rough idea of a song, I'll send it up to Frank and we'll meet up and kind of workshop on it.
Is there anybody else you bounce ideas off of, or is it just Frank at this point?
Yeah, it's just Frank at this point.
You could do worse, couldn't you?
Yeah.
He's pretty damn brilliant.
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was. And actually, that acoustic guitar in the beginning was his idea with the slide.
Oh, yeah.
And I was talking with him, and he was all, okay, I have this idea. I'm like, what's up, Frank? And he's like, I'm going to go grab a guitar real quick, and I want you to play the riff on slide. And I was like, okay. And so then we recorded it, and then he put it in front of the song, and I was like, oh, man, that really builds it up quite nicely. It was just – I still get goosebumps thinking about it.
You know, he's just – he's decided to work with just a few different people, a few different young artists to mentor. And the fact that you're one of them, what does that mean to you?
It's honestly surreal, because when I met Frank, I honestly didn't know the catalog of music that I already knew by Tesla. My dad has always played them on the radio, and we have some of their greatest hits CDs. But up until really a couple of years ago, I just knew the songs. I didn't know who they were by. And then watching Frank play them while just hanging out with him just is an insane experience. And I'm really, really grateful to have the opportunity to work with him. Because, you know, before COVID, they'd normally be out on the road right now. Mm-hmm. So it's really a blessing to have all this time to work together.
They'd be out on the road and we'd be somewhere seeing them. So
oh, yeah, me too. I'd be there.
Well, there's sort of, I guess Guitar Hero was kind of like a gateway into starting playing the guitar for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that was the gateway drug.
That was the gateway drug. There must have been some Tesla on there, I imagine. But what were your favorite songs to play in Guitar Hero?
Ooh, my favorite song specifically, the one that really got me into classic rock, like way into classic rock, was Guitar Hero 3. And that had like Tenacious D and Metallica and Foghat and Heart and some Rage Against the Machine. And all these really killer Guns N' Roses, ZZ Top, some Stevie Ray Vaughan in there. And so that's kind of where I went for my classic rock flavor, as well as my dad brought me up listening to that music. But it wasn't until Guitar Hero that I really like started looking up more and more albums by these different artists.
As a gateway drug, was it actually possible to kind of take the techniques that you had learned playing Guitar Hero, and because I mean I sucked at it, I'll admit it, and actually translate that into a real guitar?
Yeah, I believe so. At least for in my case, it got to the point where I would be walking around the house doing some chores, playing the song, so to speak, on Guitar Hero, and I would hardly miss a note. And my dad actually saw that and pulled me aside one day, and he's all, "Hey, so do you want to play guitar? 'Cause you're really good at this." And I was like, "Yeah, well, I don't have money for a guitar, but I might if I had one, but I don't know." And so that night he called up his friend and he's like, "Hey, my kid's getting really good at this game, but he's only learning the song on five buttons. I know you have a couple of guitars. Could I borrow one to give to Austin for a couple of months? We'll give it right back. And if he shows initiative in learning this instrument, I'll buy him one myself. And then you can have your guitar back." And so the minute that guitar came into my house, and it's actually that same Flying V that's in the River video, I was only supposed to have it for a couple of months just to learn some songs. And the very first song that I learned was TNT by AC/DC. And from that moment forward, it was game on. And especially with Guitar Hero, they tried to incorporate hammer-ons, which, going and comparing the two versus a real guitar is way easier. But I think what helped me was the hand-eye coordination that I got from playing the Guitar Hero game so much. And then going to guitar, it was more or less, it kind of felt the same. I mean, I know a lot of guitar like purists are gonna like, it's very different. But for me, it was pretty much no different from playing the plastic thing.
You're lucky. You are lucky that your first guitar was such a cool instrument, I gotta say.
Oh yeah,
You
it's a
know?
hot rod, man. It's so awesome.
Yeah, no, that's wicked. I love it. What do you think are the best guitar riffs of all time?
Ooh, well, my favorite. Oh man. So I say, as far as difficulty goes, like TNT is very easy. I felt very accomplished when I learned that because it's only really like three notes and it's two strings. And so I picked that up and I was just floored. But then I went to Thunderstruck by AC/DC, and that was a little bit harder. And then I went to Stranglehold by Ted Nugent, and that was getting a little more difficult. And then I tried to learn Spirit of the Radio, and I still can't play it, but I learned the riff. And I felt pretty accomplished by that. So I think those are like my top favorite riffs when I was learning the guitar. And then now playing live, I love this song, and it might be a little shocking to some people who look up my name afterwards. Peter Gabriel's Sledgehammer is so much fun to play as a three piece and really kind of rock it up. And it throws people for a loop when they realize that we're playing such a weird song compared to the rest of our set.
Yeah, well, I saw you play that on your on one of your Facebook live performances, and it was I mean,
Oh yeah, I
love
I'm
the
just
song.
I'm surprised that Facebook didn't take that down, but yeah, no, I love that song. It's so just sonically perfect.
But and much like you, I am also a goofy goober, so it's all good.
Oh Lord, you saw that too. Yeah, that song. Oh man, my mom has a video of me somewhere. And that came out when I was probably, I want to say, either 10 years old or younger when that movie came out. And I would run around the house blasting that on our Harman Kardon stereo system, running around with a plastic guitar, like on repeat for like hours at a time. And my mom's like, "You got to learn that song eventually." I'm like, "I probably will." And then I told her that I was doing it on our live stream. And she's like, "You know, people are going to turn the channel, right?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm having fun."
Well,
So
yeah,
that. Oh, go ahead.
I was
Go
just going
ahead,
to
Brett.
say, because your shirt, of course, too, was the SpongeBob shirt from the great Sweet Victory episode, which is also an amazing song by Jeffria. So, it's funny
Oh,
that
yeah.
some great music on SpongeBob.
Totally.
Completely. We're geeking out at a whole other level of
Oh,
music for
yeah.
people listening. They're like, back to the river. Because first, two things. Number one, where'd you get those sweet sunglasses? Those were awesome.
You know, I actually bought a different pair of these last year, and they were ice blue and more reflective. And unfortunately, I picked them up one day and they were kind of scuffed up. They're made by a company called Blenders Eyewear, I believe it is. And they had just come out with this with those glasses, which you see in the video. They're kind of, they go from like a peach color to like an orange kind of tint with the black frames. And as soon as I saw that, it was literally 3 days before the shoot for The River. And I was like, Mom, I gotta buy these. She's like, okay. And I'm like, the shipping says it might be here the day of the shooting or Monday. And I was like, I really hope it shows up the day of the shoot. And so I bought them. Thankfully, they came the day before the shoot so I could at least try them out and see how it looked. But I also brought a few other pairs of sunglasses. But when I was talking with the videographer, we were comparing shots, and you could see him clear as day on all the other pairs that I brought. And I was like, well, these look bad to the bone. So let's
Yeah.
wear those for, you know.
Yeah, they look great. It just stands out. So the
Thanks,
other
man.
two members of the band who are in the river, they match all your energy and intensity, and you guys are tight.
Thank you.
The musically, so what, who are they? What do they bring to the band? How do you know them, et cetera, et cetera?
So on bass, that is Spencer Olson, and we've actually grown up together through schooling, but we didn't really hang out until after high school when we were at a talent show and we were just talking music. And then after that, we pretty much became best friends. And so we were friends first, and then we started jamming together. And eventually, I asked him to be in my band. And so that's kind of where our energy, our camaraderie plays off each other, because we're already really good friends. And then putting the instruments in our hand just kind of amplifies it. And on drums, that's a local guy. His name is Steven Martin, and he's actually opened up in the past for like Zakk Wylde and like Marilyn Manson and some guys from Michael Jackson's super group and stuff. So he's a really killer drummer. And I've actually, our paths have crossed playing in the local circuit. And so when the time came, I hit him up just to see if he was available to do some gigs and, you know, obviously record this song. And he was all, oh yeah, I can do that. Let's get together and jam and see if we like it and go from there. And so that was
There's the part of the video. Oh, sorry, I
a
was just
year
going to say
ago, I
there's the
think.
part of the video where he gets up. Yeah, there's the part of the video he gets up where, I think it's during your guitar solo and he gets up. He's still pounding the air with
Oh
his
yeah.
drum
Oh
stick,
yeah,
just
he's a
walking
very
around.
animated person. He's
I love
great.
that. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Well,
So the storyline for the River, the music video, you came up with that idea too, right?
yeah, well, the initial concept of the video was it about, you know, and as far as the meaning of the song was about this dude who was down on his luck and then got baptized, and everything was a turning point after that. And so when I was discussing this with Frank and our video, excuse me, and our videographer, I was like, I really want this baptism scene in there. Like that, I'm really feeling like that would push the message even further. And so then once I told them that, Frank and I were rereading the lyrics that we had. And one part that we changed was, I think it might be either after the first or second verse, but originally it was, I crushed my disease with my hands. And we changed it to, he crushed my disease with his hands to kind of give it that more subtle spiritual push, so to speak. And when we got done adding that little vibe into the song, I reread the lyrics, and what occurred to me was the message that I wanted to send to people, being raised in a Christian household, was through God, you know, especially during this year, when you're in hard times and hardships, and it feels like there's no way out. And I've been there before. Just reaching out to him, it really helps, at least in my case. He helps me remove myself out of my own way to just kind of let things pass and calm the waters. And so that's what I really wanted to let people know in a very subtle way, you know, especially with the song itself, that through God, you know, all your struggles can really just kind of dissolve.
Do you find that your faith and your spirituality comes out in a lot of your songs, a lot of your lyrics, or is this song special?
Well, this is really the first time that it's come out in this kind of format. And so after writing The River, I've actually had more and more kind of spiritual lyrics come out of me. And so I think this song in particular is special to show me that it's okay to write about faith, because in the, at least what I've seen in the general media, faith is a very touchy topic, and as well as many, many things. But I think this song could be one of the ways to let people know that it's okay to believe in God, and not everybody's, you know, on the street corner with a sign and a megaphone shouting at people, you know?
Yeah. Would there be any worries about being labeled a Christian rock artist, that, or would you be willing to embrace that?
I think I would be willing to embrace it. Actually, so what comes to mind when it comes to that label is I was raised in this church up in California, Northern California, called Granite Bay Bayside. And that's their location that we went to. And that's kind of like the home epicenter of this church. And the guy who's actually the leader of the music, his name is Lincoln Brewster. And he actually, when he was my age, toured with Steve Perry of Journey when Steve left Journey. And so growing up, watching this dude just absolutely blow my mind with music, and it's all Christian music. It's not something that I would turn away from, because he's just really good at writing just bad to the bone songs, man. Like, there's one that's called Give Him Praise, and it's by Lincoln Brewster. And if you listen to the guitar solo, it is just mind-blowing.
It starts with the good music, right? As long as the music is good, you know, that's where it all begins. Now, you also got somebody of significance playing the role of this man who goes through this conversion in the video as well.
Oh yeah, he was so awesome to work with. That's actually one of our videographer's friends. He hit him up and pitched the role to him, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I could totally do that." And he showed him the song, and dude was like, "Oh, this is going to be so fun, man. Let's do it." And so it actually worked out quite well when I was on site for those scenes as well. We shot two different days. The band was on a different day, and the B-roll, which is the guy in the baptism scene, was on a prior day. And I was just so glad when I got up there and we were reviewing the shots. I was like, man, this is really going to come together just amazing.
One of my favorite things about the video too is that it's great because it's got that classic guitar on a cliff look to it, and I, you know, I'm always a fan of those shots.
Oh yeah, the dude who owns that property was like, "Oh, this could be great for like a guitar solo." And then the day of the shoot, man, it's literally like, That rock that I was standing on was sturdy. Like, it ain't going anywhere for the next probably couple hundred years. But standing on top of that thing, I got dizzy a couple of times. We had to stop and take a break. But it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those cases because it's such an iconic style of shot. So, I mean, it must make you, like kind of give you that real sensation of, like, almost a rock star sensation.
Yeah, that's the vibe that the guy was going for. He was like, "Okay, I'm going to be down here, and you're going to be playing the solo. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go." I'm like, oh, all right.
One of the things I'm interested in now is that, of course, we know that you started with the Flying V. How many guitars do you own now?
Oh man, I've actually been thankful enough. A lot of people have given me guitars. I believe it's somewhere in between 13 to 16 guitars currently.
Wow. Now, do you find time to play them all? I mean, do they all have different tones and sounds then that you're looking for?
Oh yeah, like my SG has more of a kind of a twangier feel on a cleaner channel, and I have a couple of Stratocasters. I have one that's signed by Joe Bonamassa and Eric Gales that I don't play anymore because I don't want to rub off those signatures.
No, no kidding. Come on,
Yeah,
guitar
and a
man.
fan also. Oh yeah, Guitar Man, dude. I'm like, as soon as that came out, nope, I'm not touching that. No way. That's just my autograph guitar now. And I have a Dean guitar, which just sounds incredible, but it's got a flag on it that is not really allowed, so to speak, by the general public. It sounds incredible, but I don't want to rewrap it. I won it from Dean, the company, on a Facebook competition. They were celebrating Dimebag's, I believe it was his anniversary of his death or his birthday, one of those two. And first prize was his Confederate flag, Dean. Second prize was a Lightning one. And so my brother and I grew up with the Dukes of Hazzard, and I was like, how cool would it be if I got this guitar? Because I connect it with how I grew up, not with the political statement that it has. And so when I found out that I won it, I was like, oh man, this is so cool. And so it came home. I played it at a couple shows, local shows, and I would preface it with what I just told you guys. And still, even people that know me would come up and be like, hey man, are you kind of, are you with that party? I'm like, no. I'm like, no, come on, dude, you know me better than that. I'm like, well, I just don't want people on the internet to assume if they see you with that, they could twist it into a negative review. And I'm like, I guess. And so it's more of a stay-at-home jam guitar, but oh my Lord, does it sound so good.
Now, one of the things I'm interested in is that, I mean, you talk about learning to play TNT and stuff like that. How is it that you went through to learn how to play songs?
Actually, it was from YouTube. I went to guitar lessons for 3 months, and that was because when I was 15, I was slated to join this country band, and they were trying to get onto a tour in Nashville. And so country and me aren't exactly the best of friends, and so I got taught the music that she was having me play, and then that kind of fell through. But for the most part, yeah, YouTube, you could really learn pretty much anything you want on there. I mean, it's kind of insane.
How about your singing? Was it something you were always confident in? Like, how did you realize you also got these pipes? Because you do, you got a really great voice.
Thank you. My dad actually tricked me into singing, and he also tricked me into playing guitar. He, when I got that guitar, that Flying V, he put a bounty on certain songs. He was like, okay, you get 25 cents if you learn a riff that I can discernibly tell is this song. And so TNT, of course, was the first one, got a quarter. Then I learned Moby Dick, which was a pretty easy, I learned the first quarter of that whole song. That was another quarter. And then he bumped it up to, okay, well, now I'll pay you $20 a song on guitar that you can play all the way through. So I learned Living After Midnight all the way
Nice.
through, and he was all, man, he's just thinking to himself, I'm gonna go freaking broke. He's just draining me of money. So then it went from, instead of whole songs on guitar, now you have to learn the songs and sing. Because when we would have discussions when I was learning guitar, he'd be like, so what do you want to do? Like, what is your gut feeling with playing guitar? And I'm like, well, I want to be a household name. And he's like, okay, so are you going to front the band? Are you going to be the singer, or are you just going to be a guitar player that everybody knows? And I was like, well, I want to front my own band. He's like, okay, well, then you're going to have to learn to sing to separate yourself from the general slew of guitar players, or find somebody like Noah Hunt, you know, with Kenny Wayne Shepherd. But that's a whole nother avenue of auditions and stuff. And so I quickly drained him of all the 20s that he had left after learning how to sing and play guitar. And then he let me know. He's like, okay, well, now that you can sing, go start your own band and, you know, let's really start going on with this thing. And so the very first time I sang live was at this club called the Valencia Club in Penryn, California, with a house band called the FOGs. And for a PG version of their name, it was called the Fabulous Old Guys. And they were just the coolest guys I still know to this day. Unfortunately, one of the guys passed away a couple of years ago. And that guy was actually married to Twana Turner. And she is Ike Turner's first daughter from his first marriage, not Ike and Tina. And so she saw me singing The Sky is Crying by Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I was doing my best to stay in key, and because I was still learning both at the same time, and especially guitar and singing. It was very difficult the very first time I tried it. Mm-hmm. And so she pulled me aside and told me who she was. And she was all, can you learn Old Love by Eric Clapton? Can you and your friend learn it? And we were like, yes, of course. And so I went home. They dropped me off. I was with a buddy who was there at the jam. And I was like, Mom, you'll never guess who I met. And she was like, who? I was like, Ike Turner's daughter. She was like, no, you didn't. This is Folsom Roseville area. Nobody famous or anything like that lives here. I was like, no, it's true. She's going to play Old Love with me next week. You got to come. I'm like, you got to get the day off. Call in sick. I don't care. And so both my dad and my mom called in for the day, played hooky to go meet Twana. And from that day, she mentored me on how to properly sing, because when I first started, I was getting all of my voice from my throat, and that's very damaging to your vocal cords. And so she showed me the proper way of how to push from your diaphragm and breathing through songs and not trying to do it all in one breath and then pass out. And so applying those techniques over the years, I've fine-tuned it to kind of suit myself, and that's really how I started getting comfortable with my own singing voice.
Well, then I'm interested too in when it comes down to playing live, what, like, how much have you learned about playing live? And obviously you can't do that right now, but like, are you able to kind of learn more about live playing even while you're not playing live right now?
You know, that's a really good question. I've definitely spent a lot more time looking at live videos than I have before leading up to this year, because obviously, as you know, for musicians specifically, we're just hanging out, you know, writing music. And so what I do from time to time is I'll look up like Tesla Live, the five-man acoustic jam, or like B.B. King, this specific year at this concert kind of a deal, and try and pick up on what made these great guitar players stand out and what I can more or less kind of take from it and mold it into my own kind of sound.
How hard was it to find your own sound?
Well, honestly, I think I'm still finding it, but Frank is really good at showing me the difference between like, okay, this sounds like Stevie Ray Vaughan, let's do that take again, and just don't think about it as much, and let's see how it turns out. And so we do another take, and he's like, all right, now that sounds more like Austin Moe, let's try and build from that. And so I'm still developing, I think, every day as an artist and with my own sound, but now more than ever, it's really helped me have the time to try and create, this is obviously Austin Moe, as opposed to, oh, this guy sounds a lot like, you know, Frank Hannon or Joe Bonamassa or Eric Clapton.
And then I guess you know, when it all comes down, like, to wanting to go out and play live, like, who are some of the people that you would love to go and be able to open for and play live with?
Oh, David Gilmour is the number one, man. That would just be amazing. That would blow my mind if I ever got that call or if I ever got that opportunity. Number one, for sure. Him and Eric Clapton would just, I would die and go to heaven.
Or Tesla.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Tesla would be incredible.
Even if you don't mean to say it,
come on. No. We can edit that out. No. Tesla would be another amazing group. Like, really, anybody, I mean, of that stature, I've looked up to all my life, like Tesla, Def Leppard, Heart, anybody, pretty much. I would just be in heaven and elated the whole time until it's over.
Yeah, and then it'll get to the point where hopefully you have a young Turk opening for you. So where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I would love to be where they are right now, you know, playing stadiums and either support or headline. Ideally headline, but, you know, we'll see what the future holds.
Yeah, well, you got all the talent to do it. I mean, there's a reason why you're being hailed as the future of music. I mean, you know, it's no pressure on that label, right?
No, I feel that actually it's – people have told me that ever since I would go out to my local park and plug in and really struggle through songs. So I was playing one day and my dad was there. Nobody was at this park at all. And this is like kind of a weird story. And so I'm playing, and out of nowhere, like as if this person appeared out of thin air, this homeless person walks up. She was a really nice lady. She goes, "Hi, what's your name?" And I was like, "Oh, my name's Austin Morgan." She's like, "How long have you been playing guitar?" I was like, "Oh, for about a year or so." It's like, "Can I shake your hand?" I'm like, "Sure." Okay, yeah. She goes, "Well, Austin, I just want to let you know that you're going to be extremely famous one day, and all your dreams that you're wanting in music, if you so follow them, are going to come true. And I just want to let you know that right now. So keep practicing and keep playing." And I was like, "Okay." And so then I turn around to my dad, and we both look at each other like, that was kind of strange. And we turn around to look for this lady, and she was gone.
Wow. I believe it. I've, you know, had a similar experience once myself, and it's one of those things. You know, you're that's it. You're on the path to. A lot of people spend their whole life trying to figure out what it is that they're supposed to do, or, you know, and there's often what they want to do and what they're supposed to do, and sometimes they're the same thing, sometimes they aren't. But you found it already, and that's really cool. And never forget that story. Now you got to turn that into a song.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good idea. I might just have to take that from you.
There you go.
Something to work on.
The video already.
Yeah.
Just now, all you need is the time. Where will you find the time to work on?
Yeah, right.
How often do you pick up the guitar and practice every day?
You know, to be honest with you guys, it's not as much as when I was learning the guitar. When I was learning the guitar, I would be lucky to do homework. Like, as soon as I got off of school, it was like 5 to 6 hours a day learning everything that I could. But now I am more focused on songwriting. So it's not exactly practicing anymore. I'm more trying to develop my own sound, like we talked about earlier. And so I'll pick it up a couple hours a day, really work on, okay, let's see what ideas I have right now and develop them. It's not more or less practicing as much as I used to. And I still do. Like, I'll pull up harder songs and try and learn them and still give myself a challenge. But right now I'm really focusing on writing original material, because that's ultimately what's, you know, going to provide the dreams that I'm reaching for, you know.
Another question that I have then is that, you know, as you look towards these dreams, like, what kind of marketing and presence do you need to have, and do you need to maybe learn to get there?
You know, that's a good question. I haven't really thought about that. But what I've noticed as far as artists today, like the top 10 or the top 40 people who are on the radio, is they have a really strong social media presence. And that's what I'm trying to learn right now. I'm more of a old school word of mouth kind of guy, like, hey, come to our show, it's going to be really good, rather than post on Facebook and try and get it to 1 million views and then have everybody show up to our shows. So that's what I'm trying to learn right now and apply to my band and how we promote ourselves.
How about the other song that people can hear from the Austin Mole Experience, "Rock Is My Religion"? What's kind of the genesis of that song?
What happened with that song is I opened up for this blues cat named Eric Gales, and for the
Love
people
him.
out there listening who
He's
don't know who he is,
oh,
which
so
I hope
great.
they do, but he's a phenomenal guitar player, left-handed, kind of a Hendrix vibe. I had the pleasure of opening up for him 2 years ago at this venue called the Empress Theater in Vallejo. And if you guys get the chance to go see a show there, I would. It's incredible. It's so just the atmosphere when you walk in is mind-blowing. But I played that show, and there was a guy in the audience by the name of Dan Mechanic, and he was witnessing our set. And so he wrote the lyrics to this song, and he sent it over to me in an email. He was like, hey, I was at your show. You knocked it out of the park. What do you think of this song? Do you take ideas from other people, or, could we work together? And I was like, yeah, this is a pretty cool song. And so we hashed it out, and I came up with the music for it with my band, and we went into J Street Recorders, which is actually owned by Brian Wheat of Tesla. And we recorded the song in probably, I'd say, 2 weeks on and off. Sometimes we do 3 days 1 week. Sometimes we do one or two the next. And the engineer who helped us out, Jack, just totally made that song come to life. And it was so funny. I made a little private event on my Facebook page, and I really just spammed everybody, regardless of where they live. Like, I hit up dudes who are legit, like, rock stars. I was like, hey, I'm going to be in the studio today. You should come out and hang out. And so they're like, oh man, I have a gig, but maybe next time, which is their way of saying, dude, I'm in like Las Vegas. I'm not flying up here for, but I got a whole bunch of friends together, and that's actually the background shouts of the rock and stuff in that song is a bunch of my friends that just had the day off and wanted to come and hang out.
That's very cool. It's what did it, May it came out or something like that. So about 6 months or not, or 4 months, I guess, between that song and the river, and totally different sounds between them. And I like it because it shows the versatility for you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's really cool. Brent, you got any more questions we've taken? I'm just noticing we've already
I
taken
know, I
45
know
minutes of
for
Austin's
sure.
time.
Oh, I think I'm pretty good right now.
All right. Austin, you know what? Why don't you give everybody an opportunity to know where they can keep up with you? What's the best place to follow you? As you say, you're learning all this social media stuff. And if you ever learn it, teach me how to do it well.
Okay, I will.
We need a lot of learning.
Oh yeah. I think the three of us, we can knock it out.
Yeah.
Well,
You think we'd have the time?
on Instagram, oh yeah. Yeah, right now we have the time for sure. On Instagram, you can find us under Austin Moe underscore official. And on Facebook, we are Austin Moe official as well. You can just type that in and we'll pop up. And on YouTube, the best way that I've found that people find my YouTube channel is just typing in the river Austin Moe. And then that's the first thing that pops up is our music video. And you can check out all the other videos that we have on there. We have some from a long time ago when I was actually the day that I was playing with Tuana Turner for the first time is on there. And as recently as just jamming up in South Lake Tahoe being a goofball with a guitar.
Well, Austin, I mean, you're an incredibly talented performer, and I know that we look forward to following your career because, well, you know, like the homeless lady said, you're going places. So we're looking
forward
to that.
I really appreciate that.
So, yeah, thanks so much for coming on the show.
This episode will be called The Future of Music, just so you know.
Oh, man, I'm downloading that for sure.
Tell all your friends.
We had great fun with you. You know, I hope you enjoyed the interview, and we do look forward. We're cheering for you, and we look forward to you know, chatting again in the future.
That's right.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you so much, guys.
Well, Austin Moe, the song is The River, and I urge everybody to go check it out. And to you, all the best. Thank you so much.
Or just stick around for a few more seconds where we're going to tack it on to the end of the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right.
Then everybody can hear it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you.
All right.
I was looking for. So now it's